Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. We're trying to raise donations for Drunk History Season 2, Saints Drunk History Season 2. We're at 26 donations. We get to 100, you get Season 2. We got 12 topics planned out, plus you get 3 bonus shows. It's fantastic. Click the donate button now and do it. Give yourself a New Year's present. You'll enjoy. So, the Saints... beat Atlanta, clinched a playoff spot. It was magnificent. I flew in day of the game, flew out after the game. It was totally worth it. It was probably the best atmosphere I've seen at a Saints home game since the 2009 championship. That crowd was raucous. People were drunk going into the game. People were looking for tickets. Dave, do you dispute anything I just said? I thought the atmosphere in the dome was amazing.
I thought it was good. I mean, I don't know if I would compare it to 2009.
Is there anything since 2009 that you can say that was better than yesterday?
No, maybe not. And you know, maybe my 2009 was so long ago, and we've glorified it. You know, so maybe it wasn't really as great as it seems now. But I honestly specifically remember sitting there at the game during like a third down or something and kind of thinking like, I think I've heard it louder. I think it's been louder. It's loud. It's definitely loud, but I think I've heard it louder. So I don't think that it was like the loudest ever, but, everybody showed up and, it certainly was definitely loud enough and it certainly affected a few plays.
I'm going to disagree with Dave a little bit in that. I mean, I've had the good fortune to see some of the louder games, you know, being a season ticket holder in the 90s for the Dome Patrol. And I was fortunate enough to be there in 2000 when they won their first playoff game and the Gleason game. And I was there for the NFC Championship against the Vikings. So, you know, there's a lot of those I just mentioned that I would kind of put at the top of the list. And I don't know that this game ever got as loud as the Gleason game or maybe the NFC Championship game. But what impressed me about this game, it was maybe not peak volume as much as just how relentless it was. Like first down, second down, third down, it didn't matter. Like the crowd was engaged the whole game. And I mean, in the Jets game, Dave, I mean, I think, you know, just the juxtaposition of having been there the week before.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was night and day. This felt like a playoff game. You know, the fans just like knew the importance and the enormity of the game, and they were not going to let one snap be wasted on energy being put out there.
One thing that killed me during the game is the section that I sit in, like a lot of sections, it's the same people, and they've been there for 15, 20, some of us have been there for 15, 20, even longer years. And they have a guy who's really loud, and he's loud, but he makes jokes. And in the middle of the second quarter, he said, "Motherfuckers, you need to get loud because the offense ain't doing shit. It's 1991 all over again. The defense is going to have to win the goddamn game." And I just, like, I busted out laughing because it was 6-0, and it kind of felt like that at that moment where you're like, the defense is going to have to win this game, and we're going to have to be loud all game long. But then, like, 3 minutes later, they hit Ted Ginn on the bomb, and you kind of relaxed. But I want to say, Andrew, as far as, like, before we get to the buttception, I want to say, I feel like the buttception, I feel like it blacked out everything in that game, which they had so many amazing things that happened in the game. We got the full Ted Ginn experience. You got the bomb catch and the dropped interception, the dropped pass that led to
roller,
it. Yeah, it's like that's like the full Ted Ginn, though,
roller
right?
coaster of emotion.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's the full Ted Ginn. Then you had you sacked Matt Ryan.
You got the full Ted Ginn on consecutive drives.
Yeah, you did. I didn't think of it. I forgot about that. It was.
And when it happens, you know, when you're at the game, and you know he gives it up, and you're just like, "Yep, that's about right." I mean, you know, we got the touchdown. Everything's even now. The world is back in flux, and. We'll just go on our merry way now. Thank you.
Yeah. But even more amazing than getting the full Ted Ginn is, Andrew, they sacked Matt Ryan 5 times. When was the last time Matt Ryan got sacked 5 times in a game? The dude's been sacked 18 times the whole year, 6 of them by the Saints for the 2 games. I mean, they were beating the crap out of Matt Ryan. Like, if you'd have told me of everything that happened in the game, if you'd have said they sacked Matt Ryan 5 times, I'd have been like, there's no way. There's just no way.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I really don't.
I mean, and the Saints, they signed a dude 2 weeks ago, George Johnson. He's got 2.5 sacks. Paul Kruger, who the Saints paid $3 million to in 2016, didn't have 2 sacks the entire year. I mean, it's like I said on Twitter, it's a fucking unicorn. Like, if you told me that the Saints were going to pull a dude off the street and he was going to have 2.5 sacks in 2 games in December, I just said, you are fucking crazy. I will bet you whatever you want me that that will not happen. And it has fucking
happened. George Johnson getting 1.5 sacks on Matt Ryan was like picking up Mike McKenzie and him intercepting Tom Brady.
I think it's more incredible. I think it's more insane than that, because the interception can be like a fluky thing where it can be like a tip or, I mean, a sack, you got to kind of earn it, right? I mean, I don't know.
No, you could go unblocked, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true.
If Kruger had 1 sack last year, flukes can happen.
Dave, if there's one thing that even tops George Johnson being a unicorn, it's Manti Te'o looking like Manti Te'o that was a Heisman finalist getting catfished in college.
Like, yeah, he looked awesome.
He was fucking unbelievable. Like, he's better than Klein.
I mean, he was making plays out there. He was making some big hits.
Seriously, does Klein get his job back? I'm not even sure if I'm kidding or not.
Well, he's on. Well, you mean that would have to be after this season, obviously, because Klein is not coming back this season. So if we're talking about next season,
yeah.
I mean, I think you let him battle it out. You let him battle it out. But yeah, I mean, Te'o looked awesome. I mean, there really hasn't been a drop off in play with Klein out. And there may even be an improvement.
You know, I just, Andrew, I just thought of something that was even more crazier than all the things we just mentioned. And that's not the buttception. That's Kikaha making a critical fourth down tackle.
and he defended a pass.
And he defended a pass. It's fucking heaven. 2017 is heaven. I mean, and then
you got to mention the fumble, the Devonta Freeman fumble on the 1-yard line.
Yeah, that too.
And he had 2 personal fouls.
Yeah.
I mean, there really were. There were a lot of things that just went right for the Saints in this game. And
it was kind of like the opposite of the Thursday night game.
Yeah. That's another great thing is the Falcons fans bitching about how the refereeing was lopsided.
Yeah. You know how I got the Falcon fans out of my mentions when I was sitting at the airport waiting to fly back? They would come at me with the referee stuff, and I would say yes, and that made it better that your team played like shit, and the referees helped the Saints. Like, that made it more enjoyable. Like, I won't apologize for it. It makes it taste better, and they would just leave my mentions when I would say that. But the butt interception, I don't even like. What's there to say? Like, it's that shit was just crazy. I don't like. Is it the weirdest?
I've seen like 8 million terms for it. Are we settled on butt pick or
no buttception?
Buttception. I saw somebody. Kevin said something about the immaculate assception. I kind of like that too.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But I mean, it's a top 5 craziest all time Saints play, right?
Did you guys see in the Times Picayune, the headline was
Buns of Steel,
STAL.
That should win a Pulitzer. Their Katrina coverage might have won a Pulitzer, but that deserves a Pulitzer. I don't care what anybody says. But to the point of the defense, like, Dave, they were fucking awesome. And I know Atlanta, yeah, like, were. Atlanta was a mess, but they were – Atlanta was, at one point, I think, was 0 of 11 on third downs. Now, granted, they had, like, three third downs in the first quarter that were, like, third and 40, third and 25. But that's not my problem that they
I was so convinced they were converting that, by the way.
Yeah, dude, if that had been the 2015 Saints, Brandon Brown would have had a five-yard holding penalty. for illegal contact, and they'd have picked
up. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
But, I mean, do you put it – Atlanta, I mean, yeah, they played crappy, but they're number one in third down conversions. Does this, Dave, give you – speaking of the defense, does it give you confidence that, like, when they go in the playoffs, it doesn't matter if they play Carolina, it doesn't matter if they play on the road. Like, this defense is going to hold it together and be pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, I was just watching Inside the NFL. They were talking about how every team wants to be that fourth seed so they can potentially go up against
Philly.
Oh, yeah, Philly, the Eagles.
Philly looked like a trash heap last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely a drop-off now that they don't have Carson Wentz. And, you know, it's a lot easier to go to a visiting stadium when you have a good defense. It's a lot easier to come up with a win in the playoffs. And, yeah, I mean, the Saints defense looked awesome. I think, again, a lot of it has to do with Lattimore and Crawley being healthy. A lot of those sacks that the Saints were able to get were coverage sacks. I mean, Matt Ryan was just holding onto the ball for a very long time, looking for receivers and not finding them, and you know, giving the defensive line time to get to him. So, a lot of this has to do with that secondary and them being healthy. So, and obviously, Manti Te'o playing out of his mind on Sunday, too.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys right now, you know, obviously, first and foremost, the Saints need to beat the Bucks, and that's not a given, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later on this show. But they've got to do that first and foremost. But I read today that the Rams are likely to sit their starters because they don't see much value in being the third seed versus the fourth seed, and they want their players healthy for the playoff game. And like you guys just said, I think part of that is they don't mind being the fourth seed because if they win – and the three seed wins, then they're going to Philly, and they like their chances against Philly, you know, with Nick Foles. But I think that's potentially huge for the Saints, because if the Saints can win this game and get the three seed, if the Rams basically just let the Niners win and sit a bunch of guys, I think Philly could easily lose. And if they do, and the Saints are the three seed, and they have to go to Minnesota, yes. And that obviously that's not a given. That'll be a very tough game, but there is a path here to the Saints if they're the three seed hosting the NFC Championship game.
And I don't give a shit who the Saints would play in the NFC Championship game at home. They're winning in the NFC. Like, I'm telling you, I think they'll win. And granted, to me, the Saints' hardest hurdle in the NFC we can get to is Minnesota. Minnesota right now is the best team in the NFC from top to bottom because their offense is good. They have their quarterback and all that. We'll get to that. We'll get to who should win in a bit. You know, the thing is with the Saints' offense, Andrew, is like people keep asking me, like, I didn't tweet too much during the game, but like after the game, I'm sitting there waiting for my people. Like, what can we do for third down? What can we do? I'm like, there's not a fucking thing you can do. It's week 17. The Saints offense is what it is. They're going to run the ball. They try to avoid third down and they'll hit a couple plays. They're going to have a couple drives that bog down and it's going to get them between 20 and 30 points. And that's just what it fucking is. Like you're not like there's no miracle cure. Like you're not gonna be like we activated Austin Carr and he caught 20 passes in the playoffs. It was amazing. Like I mean well I mean they did sign George Johnson. I guess fucking anything's possible. But I mean like I just like the Saints offense like and you texted me something where like during the game like Sean Payton he looks like he's not confident. Like explain it like you think. Like on third down, like they seem like not very confident now, which is weird for them.
Well, there was the fumbled snap, you know, where they try to do an inside draw to
Ingram.
Yeah, and there's a couple times during the game that they call that where they were basically trying to catch the Falcons off guard with running plays. And to me, that was just Sean Payton basically saying, I don't trust my protection. I don't think we can block these guys up front. I don't trust my receivers to get open.
Trying to card trick it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to me, that kind of spoke emphatically that I don't feel good about playing these guys straight up on third down. Ugh. And, you know, again, that's the reality, I think, of where the Saints are. You know, and I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. There's what are they averaging points per game?
They're averaging 20.
I mean, they're in the top 10, right?
They're top 5 of points scored.
They're top 5 in points per game, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the third downs are a bummer, but I think we just have to realize that, look, they're not going to put up 35 points anymore. Mm-hmm. They average 28.3. So on any given game, and, you know, as they get into the playoffs and if they have to go into cold weather or if they have to play a tougher defense, they're not going to put up 28. It's probably closer to 24 points, but that might be enough for this team to win a game. And the bottom line is they've gone 11-4 with this offense, which is currently ranked second in the NFL.
28.3.
They're fourth in points. They're second in yards, right?
Yeah.
They're second overall in yards. So, you know, they're not good on third down. There's no denying that. But I think this offense still does a lot of things well, and you'll take it.
Dave, are you okay with Kamara? I mean, they were sneaking him in on kickoff returns against Atlanta. And I don't think they'll do it against Tampa necessarily, but are we cool with this in the playoffs?
Yeah, I noticed that. And I'm obviously happy to see that. I think he can maybe provide a little spark that the kick return game has needed. I'm okay with it. I mean, Reggie Bush wasn't as important to the offense, I guess, as Kamara was. But, I mean, we let Reggie Bush do it. I think when you're, especially when you're talking about the playoffs, I mean, obviously field position is huge, but I mean, you know, getting that boost by a big return or a touchdown off of a return, you know, that can change a game or bust a game wide open. And they're just not getting that from anybody on this roster.
I mean, Andrew, doesn't it kind of fall in the Drew Brees quarterback sneak department where, like, the Saints, Drew Brees is awesome at the quarterback sneak for, like, when it's fourth and short or at the goal line for a touchdown. Like, he's phenomenal at it, but they don't do it all the time because they don't want Drew Brees getting hurt. Like, but it's playoff time, so everything goes. So
absolutely. Yeah, not even a question for me.
But do you think Kamara is going to get, more – do you think he gets bumped up in touches from, like, 16 to like 20, 22 for playoff games, and even maybe if the Tampa game's close, you know?
I think it still depends on the matchup. But, you know, I do think if the Saints got down and they were passing more, I mean, he would maybe be the back almost exclusively, you know? I still think Ingram's a big part of the game plan. I mean, maybe Kamara gets an uptick, but I think so much of it just depends on A, the matchup, and B, you know, if a team has a scary pass rush, I would think the Saints would still really want to commit to Ingram in the run game to make sure they don't expose themselves to third and long. Like the Rams, you know, I don't really feel like that's a team they necessarily would want to play Kamara more against.
Dave, for the purpose of before we pick the game, let's assume the Saints get to 12-4. Where would you rank this year on the Sean Payton scale of best team, but also most enjoyable? Like where do you rank this team of all the Sean Payton teams?
Best team, I'd maybe have to put it third, maybe behind 2009 and 2011.
Both 13-3.
And correct, yeah. But just, I mean, you know, 2011, the offense was ridiculous, and the defense wasn't that bad, and obviously they came very close to making it to the championship game. So, but anyway, and then And as far as what was the second, like just how much fun it is,
yeah,
just how enjoyable it is,
yeah.
I don't know. Obviously, 2009 tops everything because you won the Super Bowl. I mean, and unless that happens this season, then you can't compare to that.
See,
so I think it's a question. I mean, I know a lot of people like 2013 and the Popeyes and Gatorade and all that stuff.
See, I
2013 was like wasn't that amazing. 2011, I thought, you know, with that offense and putting up the ridiculous numbers, that was a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah, I'm in the minority opinion in that the 2010 team, the regular season, was fucking phenomenal. That team was like an 8-8 team that just won on we're the champions swagger, and they were like 6-2 in close games, and they pulled games out the ass repeatedly. Dallas on Thanksgiving, Dallas on Thanksgiving, Cincinnati,
that was a good game.
Tampa, the 49ers on Monday. Like, they pulled games out the ass all year long, and it was fun. And people hate 2010 because the ending just sucked. But the regular season was fun as shit. But this season, I mean, if I had to rate them as far as fun, I would rank 2009, 2006, 2010, 2011.
Oh, I forgot about 2006.
You know? 2006 was fun just because it was just so unexpected. But I mean, like, besides the Gleason game.
Yeah, I would put 2006 almost ahead of 2009 in some ways. I mean, 2009 is definitely the best, but I would say 2006 was real close for me.
I mean,
talking just regular season.
Well, they did. What besides the Gleason game? Like, what? Well, they had the
Dallas. That game alone, dude.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? They were 2-0. First of all, they had two games on the road, which we all were like, okay, they'll come to the Dome 0-2. You know, maybe. I remember us talking about this, or maybe we weren't doing this podcast yet, but in 2006, I just remember saying, God, please just let them split the first two games and come to the Dome 1-1. So for them to come 2-0 was already a miracle. And then to blast the Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, then we just knew that they were onto something special. And I don't know. I loved that season.
And they came back against Green Bay was up, I think, 2 touchdowns on them. And they came back and beat them. So 2006 was a lot. 2006, now that I'm thinking about it, was a lot of fun.
Because, and you got to remember, they were 10-6, but at 10-5,
they were clinched.
They clinched a bye.
That's
so there was real hope. I mean, you know, as average of a season, you know, are pretty 10-6 is good, but it's not like, you know, contender good. But we at that point 10-5, they were a contender.
Well, the number one seed was the Bears, and they were quarterbacked by Rex Grossman. So you were like, well, fuck, we got a shot. But this year, Dave, I mean, this has been. I think they've had a lot of fun games, but just the despair at 0-2 makes this season really special. I feel like.
Yeah, that and you know, like the Washington game, that was pretty awesome. What other game?
Detroit was bonk. It wasn't the comeback of Washington, but Detroit was fucking bonkers, man. Buffalo, just
yeah.
I mean, so Andrew, before we get to like who we want to win and all this, I want a word about Atlanta because I feel like, man. I look at Jimmy Garoppolo playing for San Francisco, and he's really fucking good. And I look at Matt Ryan now without Shanahan, and he's like back to being mediocre and not that good. And I'm really excited that he's never going to be what he was last year without Shanahan. And I think that's phenomenal. Am I too excited? I mean, because I think it's looking at it now, man. Shanahan was a lot of what made him good.
Maybe so, man. I don't know, man. Ryan, I'm kind of a Matt Ryan arm truther. I think he's hurt.
He. But I was watching the Sunday in the Dome, and there was a lot of times where like, if he would have just like waited like one more half second, like Julio, they had one play where Julio went up the seam and the Saints had a linebacker on him. And Matt Ryan could have waited, but he just didn't. And I mean, I just feel like I don't know if it's scheme or whatever, but he's not the same guy. And like, I don't, you know, like the regression is a lot. Like it's not like Drew Brees, because you know, remember, Drew Brees was awesome in 2011, but in 2012 the Saints took a step back and they didn't win 13 games. But it was because the defense sucked. That offense still scored a shit ton of points, not as much as 2011, but it was still.
But is he really that different this year from standard Matt Ryan? He's basically played like he's always played.
Yeah.
This year, I really feel like. Last year was the anomaly.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that was the anomaly, and he's not gonna land in a spot between like his best season and what he was before. He's gone all the way back to what he was before. He hasn't fallen in the middle somewhere.
Right.
His regression is like he's back to 2015 Matt Ryan. So.
Right.
So, Dave,
we didn't talk about the trolling of the Falcons in the dome.
The scoreboard thing—that was my next thing. That comparison
and the
video.
The 6-10 Stompers did it too. The 28-3.
The 6-10 Stompers did it, but the video was just—it was a chef kiss to the Saints people. Yeah. Like they went there completely. They had 28-3. They had Atlanta has Olympic rings. New Orleans has Super Bowl rings. Like it was glorious. And Tampa.
Well, you know they've been doing that every week, right? The us versus them.
Versus them. But this was like, this is like the other ones were good. This was like Oscar winning.
Yes.
I mean.
Well, like, it's just now starting to come to light because this is obviously the first time the Falcons have been in the Superdome since they've lost the Super Bowl. So this is our first chance to really stick it to them. And, it's really, for me, it was like the realization, like this 28-3 thing. I mean, this is going to fucking haunt them for the next 25 years. They're never going to get over this. They are never going to get over it. It's just great. It's just the gift that keeps on giving. It really is. It was a Merry Christmas.
It's the baseball equivalent of the ball through Bill Buckner's legs. Like Boston didn't get Boston. You don't get over that shit until you win a championship. Like there's no getting around it. But Andrew, like as far as Atlanta, like I feel that they might beat Carolina and beat 10-6, but I feel like they're way, way different from last year. Like they're not nearly as good, even though they might only win one less game in the regular season. Like that team, it's complete. It feels completely different.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't know. Nothing really seems that different to me either. I mean, it's hard for me to believe that Kyle Shanahan is really the one. Major difference, and that's enough to kind of nuke the whole thing. But maybe that's it. I mean, yeah, I don't know that I expected their defense to get a little better, to be honest with you. You know, because they're pretty young on defense, and they got a bunch of talented guys. But you know, Vic Beasley had that injury early in the season, and I know he's come back from it, but I don't know that he's 100%. And without him, kind of being. You know, ridiculous from a sack perspective, they just don't look as good.
Well, Dave, that Ted Ginn pass at the end of the half, that was some Rob Ryan shit right there. Like, I mean, look, it was cool and it touched him, but if that had happened to the Saints at the end of the half, like we'd want people fired, would we not?
Yeah, that was unacceptable.
Dave, are you still with us?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, fortunately for us, our team is the better coach team. I listened to Peyton post game on the drive to church after the game, and
is Bobby Hebert always that inebriated? Is always that?
He's the worst. I can't stand him. He never gets anybody's names correct, and I mean, he seems very unprofessional. He's supposed to be like
Deke's
the guy
not
that you want.
Matters either.
No, he's no. The two of them Cajun yucks.
I could argue this podcast is more professional than their post game show.
I don't even think that's an argument.
Granted, I drink during the post this show. I drink during Drunk History, but I feel like even at our drunkest, Andrew, we still kept it on better. Pace and target than them during the post game show.
I mean, it's not just that, man. I'm listening to it on the drive home with my son, and we were going to church too in Metairie. So we're driving back to Metairie, and every third word from Bobby Hebert's bitch and ass. They're bitching about the refs and ass and freaking and I mean he's really toeing the line. Forget that it's unlistenable. It's kind of like borderline inappropriate. I cannot believe they get away with that on the air. I can't believe it.
I miss Buddy Deke.
At one point, Deke went on this rant about how it's not Happy Holidays, it's Merry Christmas, and it's part of the New Orleans culture, and if you don't
it's important.
Too bad, so sad, and
yeah.
And get the hell out. It was something like that. And then Bobby just starts going into this drunken tirade about, man, we're celebrating the birth. I can't do his voice, but he's, you know, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And just he starts going into this whole religious rant. And I'm sitting here listening to it. And, you know, I mean, I'm Catholic. And so it's not that I disagree, but I'm just in my head, I'm thinking, I guess I've been in Virginia for so long. Like, if you said something like that in DC on air, you wouldn't even finish your segment. They would fire you before the end of the radio show.
I mean, but I guess it's that's how it is every week. Because people that I was talking to, they're like, no, that's normal. I'm like, okay.
Target audience, man.
I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's fun for like 20 minutes, but after that, you're like,
right. After you want to listen to like some when you're ready to listen to some serious. Talk about the Saints.
Well, not serious, legitimate talk. But if you've either got to be serious and legitimate, or funny and entertaining. That's my thing. So anyway,
and they are neither. but anyway, so I was listening to Coach Payton's post game press conference, and he had mentioned he got asked about that play, and he had mentioned that they saw something when they lined up. They saw something with Atlanta's defense that they had been studying all week, and they were prepared to take advantage of it, and they did take advantage of it. I don't know whether Drew audibled into it or what, but so, you know, again, I think that's a situation of, hey, our coach is better than your coach.
You know what's funny is I've been wanting Willie Snead to do well so badly.
Well, you can give that dream up.
Yeah,
the guy in front of me, he's like, oh, this is going to be Willie Snead's catch. And it never is Willie Snead's catch.
But on that play, on that throw to Willie Snead, first of all, I'm going to respond to that in a second, too, because the fans are really pissing me off in this game. I swear to God, like, everyone thinks they're an offensive coordinator. And when the offense wasn't working, they're like, just run the ball. Like, everyone was complaining about how we weren't running enough. And then Ingram would get stuffed for 2 yards, and they'd be like, throw it. Snead. It was just absurd. Like, they wanted to run, they wanted to throw, like, and then they would try it and it wouldn't work, and then they, you know, so anyway. But on that throat again, I just remember I had the perfect sight line, because, you know, they're coming to me and I'm seeing the play unfold from the midsection of the dome, and Willie Snead comes wide open. I mean, he is so wide open, and I kind of had my eyes focused on him. So as Breeze goes back to pass, and I see him throw it, not to Snead, like throw it further downfield. At first in my head, I'm like, oh my God, no, what are you doing? Snead is so wide open. How could you miss that? And then I see Ted Ginn blazing past Trufant, wide open with no high safety. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay. I'll let that go. But it was too bad for Snead, because that was like the one play in that game where he would have easily had a 25-30 yard gain open across the field.
I have to say, I'm really close to buying a Brandon Coleman jersey. I know people don't like him, and he fumbled twice last week. That dude saved a touchdown on Drew Brees' pick. Like, he hustled down and made that tackle, and then the Saints made the goal line stand.
Yeah, you mean Ted Ginn's pick?
Yeah, Ted Ginn on the pick, Brandon Coleman.
That's not on Breeze.
What's that?
That's not on Breeze.
Well,
on the stat sheet it is, unfortunately.
But on the interception, like, Brandon Coleman went and made the tackle, and I thought that was a great hustle play, and I'm this close to buying a Brandon Coleman jersey. I might have to buy, like, the Chinese knockoff. I'm not going to pay, like, full price. But.
Yeah, well, Drew made a half-assed effort on that tackle. You know,
that's
who would have made
it? Drew Brees doesn't need to be tackling anybody. No, I don't want Drew Brees tackling me.
You know, you're right. But you know who would have given 100% on that tackle? Taysom Hill.
Yes, he would have.
Are we going to see a Taysom Hill trick play this week? I feel like we might. If it's going to happen, it's going to. Did they bust out the Taysom?
No, they're going to save that for the playoffs.
Oh my God, they wouldn't dare run a fucking Taysom Hill trick play in a playoff game.
Ooh, they wouldn't dare.
They wouldn't.
Oh, it's coming.
Well,
how dare they?
I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, it's one thing to run like ambush or
the fucking gall of them. Oh my goodness!
I sound like the guy from Frosty the Snowman. Oh my God! They're canceling Christmas.
Jeepers, my creepers! I couldn't. They would not even. Oh, I can't even think about them running that play.
So. The Saints are
the gall.
One win away from winning in the division. Before we get to that game, like, who are we rooting for this weekend, Andrew?
If the Rams want to shut it down, I'm all for it, man. I mean, I just want the 3 seed. I don't care who we play. I'm down with Seattle. I'm down with the Panthers. I'm down with the Falcons. Any of those 3 teams, bring them to the dome, I'm good. I will make the one comment that this has always been a huge pet peeve of mine. The whole narrative of it's really hard to beat a team 3 times in a season. Well, first of all, it's really hard to play a team 3 times in a season, because if you've already beaten them twice, that means they're 0-2, which means they need to at least go 9-4 or whatever with their other games. 10-4, yeah, with their other games to make the playoffs. So that's why it's really hard. And matching up with a team in your own division is unlikely. So that's why it's hard to play a team 3 times. As for if it's hard to beat them 3 times, my money's going to be on the team that's already won twice, not the team that's lost twice. So especially if the team that's won twice is playing at home, all right? So don't tell me that. In fact, I remember one media guy going as far as saying, I almost feel like the team that got swept is favored if they play a 3rd time. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Dave,
that's like one of my biggest pet peeves.
No,
so it's, I would love to play Carolina.
Dave, who do you want?
I'm not really feeling strongly about any of these teams.
I'm with, quite honestly. Doesn't matter.
You know, obviously, I want the Saints to make sure they take care of their own business against Tampa. But
I tell you who I don't want. I don't want Atlanta, because here's the thing with Atlanta is I think the Saints are definitely better than them, but they played like garbage Sunday. They were penalties and a mess. And granted, they were a mess Thursday night too with 3 turnovers. But the thing is. And either one of you can jump in. Like, Julio Jones just scares the shit out of me. Like, I feel like he could go for 10 and 210 against the Saints, even though the secondary is awesome, and just, like, take over a fucking playoff game. Where even in Cam Newton, I don't feel like that with him, and I would love to fucking. Like, if you told me I had to pick one team, Seattle would be perfectly fine. Like, I think the Saints would beat Seattle really. I would feel more confident about the Saints playing Seattle now. Then I was in the minority when they went there and Seattle was 7-9. I was like, I don't care that 10-point spread. This game's going to be really close. Everyone's in crazy. Like, I would feel the opposite of that. Like, I want Seattle. I think that's a great matchup for the Saints.
Russell Wilson doesn't scare you?
He does, but their offensive line is so shitty, and the Saints' secondary is so good. Like, I feel like the Saints would put in the same plan they have for Carolina, but Seattle can't run the ball like Carolina, so it would be even easier. And Seattle's defense is beat to shit. Like, their defense, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I would, if the Rams are really going to cave on the and sit their starters, I would love to watch them lose and get the 3rd seed. I mean, that would be a great scenario.
Yeah.
Because then, so in that scenario, it's more likely we would play Atlanta. Or Seattle, depending on how those games go. But I want to host the NFC Championship game.
So I
want the 3 seed.
So let's assume that let's play that out, Dave. The Saints win, the Rams sit and lose to San Francisco. Who are you rooting for, Atlanta, Carolina? Dave, are you rooting against Carolina or are you rooting against Atlanta?
I think we want the Falcons out of the playoffs, right? Not because they are a threat, but just because it sucks more for their fan base.
Yeah, I guess I'd
out
go
of
Carolina.
Spite.
Yeah, I'd go Carolina.
Yeah. Do you think? How do you, Andrew? How
it's
do you?
It's kind of win-win though, because, well, I guess Carolina's in the playoffs no matter what. So I was gonna say if Cam Newton doesn't get in the playoffs, that would feel great too. But so he's already in, so I would say I'm gonna root for Carolina.
What do you, Andrew? What do you think happens though, Andrew?
Well, Carolina doesn't stand to gain anything from winning or losing, really. If we win, if the Saints win, then the game's kind of meaningless for the Panthers.
But they play at the same time, so they wouldn't know.
I know they don't know, but I'm just saying this game has a lot more stakes for the Falcons.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a lot of stakes for the Panthers if the Saints lose, but they're completely dependent on that game.
Yeah.
You know, like, so like, yeah.
So I just, I could see, I think there's a real possibility that there's a scenario where Carolina looks up and is like, oh, the Saints are up 21-3 at the half and we're tied. Like, we're just going to sit everybody in the second half.
I don't think they do that.
You don't think they would?
I don't think they do that. I don't think they do that.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, Sean Payton did it in 2010?
The game's in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
Man, I wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers beat the pants off the Falcons. Like, I think the Falcons right now just are kind of at a bad place. And I just think with the Panthers, like, for whatever reason, they look awful when they play the Saints and they beat everyone else. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, every week I count on them to lose and look bad after they play the Saints because I'm like, yeah, Carolina's not that good. And they look good against everybody else. I don't get it.
Yeah. All right.
Divisional opponents.
Our last question before we get to Twitter questions. Are you buying Saints division championship merchandise if they win Sunday?
T-shirt and hat day this Sunday, baby. T-shirt and hat day.
I'm not big on, like,
they're always terrible. They're ugly.
Random
Nobody's ever designed a good-looking one.
The shirts
I didn't
are
even buy any
hideous.
Super Bowl like commemorative stuff, really. I mean, I have like
I did.
One.
I didn't
I have
buy
a couple.
I have mugs, a Snuggie, a clock, a gnome, but I do not have any T-shirts and hat because they're fucking horrible looking. The NFC Championship hat was really nice. These division hats and T-shirts are an abomination because I saw what team is clinched already. Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. If they look like that, they're a fucking abomination. So let's get to Twitter questions. We talked – a lot of people are asking about the third seed, and we talked about that. Where do you think the butt pick ranks in all-time greatest Saints plays, Andrew?
Well, it doesn't have shit on the meat around.
No.
Let's get that straight.
Or the Jenksgiving Day Miracle.
Or the sequence in Jacksonville of the return the missed extra point. I mean, that's top. You might not like it, but that's
Gleason punt block. I mean, I would even put the Michael Motti punt block ahead of it just because it happened against the Falcons again.
Yeah. It's definitely top 10. It's top 10. I mean,
no, it's not, dude. Like, I wouldn't even put it ahead of Gilliam or, like, Tom Dempsey.
Yeah.
It's top 20.
Yeah, and then they have
but are those plays, are those plays good because they were executed well and they were good players, or are they good just because they're seminal moments in the history of the team?
Well, it's kind of both. It's a mix.
Yeah.
It's a mix too, you know. Like, I mean, like this, like the butt pick. I think it's definitely top 10. I don't think it. I think there's a bunch of plays that we mentioned that
top 20.
They'll fade over time. I think the butt pick's gonna be, like, it's a butt pick and it's on Christmas Eve and it was against Atlanta. Like, I think it's gonna have a lot of miles on it.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see.
Buttception.
The buttception.
The immaculate assception.
This is from news. Am I alone in thinking Matt Ryan looks like a giant pink hot dog dressed up as a football player?
Is that because isn't there like a picture that of him on the internet wearing?
There's probably like seven other dudes that feel that way. So you're not alone.
Yeah.
Here's a good question.
You are not alone.
Here's a good question from John. What's more likely, a Taysom Hill receiving touchdown or Hill blocking a punt, Andrew?
Pick him.
Dude.
Blocking a punt.
Blocking a punt.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you right now, he's going to catch a touchdown pass in the playoffs.
Get the hell out of here.
They're going to put him at tight end. They're going to.
I'm not even going to say a touchdown. He's going to catch a pass in the playoffs.
Let's see.
He's already lined up a receiver, dude. Sean Payton's in the fucking, he's the mad scientist. He's in the lab tinkering right now. You know, we haven't seen it. He's tinkering, you know, we got a little taste of it this week.
Yeah.
He's lining up a receiver and he's just fucking set. It's a chess piece, man. He's setting it up. He's letting the guys look at the tape and he's seeing Taysom Hill at receiver and like, oh, they just put him out there and he didn't do anything. We don't have to worry about that. And he's setting it up. You know, he might give him a couple snaps against the Bucks, you know, and nothing goes on. He's just a decoy, you know, and they watch the tape, you know, they're getting ready for the playoffs and they see, you know, the dink and dunks there and you're going, the play moving away from Taysom Hill and they're like, ah, we don't have to worry about that guy. They don't actually use him. Just a decoy. And then, boom, playoffs come. They throw to him seven times.
If he goes off and catches four passes for 70 yards against Minnesota in the second round of the fucking playoffs, Saints Twitter's going to lose their fucking mind.
Fucking write this shit down. Record this, Ralph, right now. All you listeners at home, record this right now. Taysom Hill is going to have at least five catches in the playoffs.
Oh, my God. That's fucking ridiculous. You could have just said one. And it still would have been a wild take.
He's going to have five catches in the playoffs, and he's going to be a top 10 drafted tight end in fantasy next year.
Sean Payton, man, I'm telling you, he's tinkering. He's in the lab.
He's got it ready. He's going to break it out. He's going to break it out.
Mixing his potions. He's seeing what he can conjure.
Next Saturday night in a playoff game, Taysom Hill is going to be on the cover of ESPN.com. Let's get to this Saints Tampa games. Dave, Saints are a 7.5-point favorite. People on Twitter, a bunch of different people asked, do you think Tampa has packed it in for the year? So give me your prediction on this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they have packed it in for the year. You know, Tampa Bay's been disappointing the last 2 weeks. They couldn't seal the deal 2 weeks ago against the Falcons. Couldn't seal the deal this past week against the Panthers.
They didn't pack it in those games. I mean, they were very competitive.
Well, they.
But can they care? Can they care like 3 weeks in a row? And it's the last week of the year where they're like packed up and ready to go.
That's what I'm saying. They've gave it their all the last 2 weeks, and it still wasn't good enough. So they should just give up. Just give up. Your whole season's a waste. Your team's a fraud. They're terrible.
And they're firing your coach.
Your quarterback is just a weirdo. Anyway, so yeah, I think the Saints are going to win. I mean, Saints have a lot to play for, theoretically. And the Panthers, I mean, the Bucks have nothing to play for.
The Bucks are the worst pass defense, 32nd in the NFL.
And they have the lowest amount of sacks. The Saints have 40 fucking sacks for the season, by the way, which is bananas.
That was our magic number, right?
It was the magic number, and I didn't think it was attainable. But quick note, the preseason pass rush was real.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
So I think seven's not generous enough. I don't even think it's gonna be that close.
I knew George Johnson's huge preseason was going to pay off.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to translate. Yeah.
What team was he on during the preseason?
No idea.
Was he even on a team?
Probably not.
He was delivering beer.
He's 30.
Oh, wow, yeah. So anyway, I'll say I'm going to say Saints 35 and Bucks 17. And player of the game,
uh,
Mike Thomas.
Mike Thomas, by the way, he had a really good game considering he was injured. He had three really big catches, and he didn't look totally healthy. Like, he looked like a guy who was gritting it out. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
All right, so that's Dave's prediction. Andrew, what you got?
I think the Saints will get off to an early lead. You know, it'll be like 21-3 at halftime, like you said, and then, you know, it'll end up, you know, they'll kind of pack it in and they'll end up winning like 24-13, and it'll be a boring second half. It'll be one of those things, like kind of like the Falcons game, where like the Bucs don't really do anything on offense, but they get so many opportunities, it just makes you nervous. And I will say the Saints will get three interceptions and Crawley will have two of them.
Wow.
How many are going to be with their butt?
Patrick asks, do you think Teo has catfished us all into thinking he's a serviceable linebacker?
The tables have turned.
He's so good, I didn't even think of the catfish joke till I was leaving the stadium. That's how good he's been playing. I'm going to say
this. I never stop thinking about it.
Man, this game, I think Tampa, like Dave said, they gave it their all the last 2 weeks. And they're like, the U-Hauls are packed. And if the Saints can just jump out in front and get up 10-0 or 14-3, like Tampa will just fucking quit. I'm going to say 35-10 Saints. And your player of the game will be Kamara. Will have a really nice first half. They need to get Kamara his like 75 yards so they can have two running backs with 1,500 total yards.
You know, if your prediction is correct, Ralph, that it's really 35-10, what I think is going to happen is, you know, in the fourth quarter, they'll start running Trey Edmonds like they did against the Bills.
Oh, totally.
And he'll end up having like 80 yards rushing and be the MVP.
Yeah, but I think like Kamara is going to have like two touchdowns and 85 yards in the first half.
Nice.
You know, they're going to make sure Kamara gets the 15, cuz Sean Payton, the thing that I like about him is
he goes for stats.
He does go for stats because the thing is he knows that players like stats and it's in their contract for bonuses and it means a lot to them. So he doesn't pretend like he doesn't know about it and he tries to get them their numbers, you know? So I think 35-10, and I think the Saints are going to end up – I think it's going to end
well,
up –
Michael being, Thomas has 98 catches, so I don't think any Saints receivers ever had 100, have they?
I want to say
Cole. Did Jimmy Graham ever have 100 catches?
No. Let me take – I want to say Colston was really close 1 year.
Well, I mean, you know he's going to – I mean, it's only two catches, but you know they're going to force him the ball. To get to 100.
Colston had 98 in 2007.
Graham had 99 in 2011.
Yeah, they're going to get hit. He's going to get his two. They'll get his two catches.
Yeah. That's hard to believe, man. I mean, think about that. The Saints have never had a 100 catch receiver.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think that because Joe Horn put up monster numbers. I also think the Saints are going to get the third seed, and we're going to have Saints Falcons Part 3, which it's crazy fun because it's Atlanta and we hate them, but man, that is a mega stressed playoff game. More, I think it ramps up the stress for a playoff game, like doubles it for me personally playing Atlanta, because it won't erase 28-3, but man, it could really leave a bitter taste for a great season. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's a lot of extra pressure on the line.
I mean, yeah. losing to Carolina to end the year would be brutal as well.
Yeah. I think it's going to be that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be Saints Atlanta and then Carolina.
Do you think the Rams are going to lose?
I think the Rams are going to lose, and I think they're going to fucking regret it. because I think
that'll be heavily criticized.
I think they need to, because I think the difference, if you're the Rams, the difference between playing Atlanta, Seattle, or you're four and you play Carolina, that's a big fucking difference. And I don't think the Rams should look ahead to say we want Philly. Like, you need to fucking win and be the three seed. And why wouldn't you want to be three and you can play Seattle, who you skull dragged in their own stadium, and you get them at home? Like, and Rams are gonna get cute and they're gonna fuck themselves and lose to Carolina at home the first week of playoffs. That's my prediction. So the Saints are going to be your three seed. You're going to have to deal with Saints-Falcons round three. But it'll be a fun week. So
you think the Falcons will beat the Panthers?
Yes. I think the Falcons are going to win. I think it's Saints-Falcons three. I think that's how it sets up. You know? So prepare yourself mentally for Saints-Falcons part three. So
I like it.
Yeah. I think it's going to be Saints-Panthers part three.
Yeah, I'm with Dave. I think it's going to be Saints Panthers.
No one. None of us think it's Saints Seattle, but I'd want Saints Seattle.
I think I do think Seattle will be in. I think the Panthers are going to beat the Falcons.
So you think the Rams will go ahead and beat San Francisco then?
I do.
Okay. It's all a ruse by the Rams.
I think they'll wake up and play their guys.
Wait, what did San Francisco do this past week? Did they win? Did they keep winning?
They dropped.
Not only did they win, they put up 44 points on the best defense in the league.
So they're still playing lights out with Garoppolo now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like San Francisco's in total. They're total end of the season 4 or 5 win team that gives a shit and are pumped and think that they're going to win a bunch of games in a row and it'll build momentum for next year. And they're not really caring about draft position. They're just like. San Francisco's like, oh my God, we have a really good quarterback now. This is fun. Let's go and win.
Those teams always go 6-10 the next year.
Yeah. I think the Garoppolo hype in the offseason is going to be insane. He's going to be on the cover of every fucking magazine. They're going to be the Tampa pick, like Tampa was this year. Tampa was the trendy pick this year. And they went crash and burn. So that wraps it up for this podcast. So remember to donate. We're close. We only need 74 more donations, and we'll have season 2.
No one said my wife this week.
No,
my wife.
No, my wife, and we didn't even have the cat meow from the show.
Yeah.
So
that's what I had noticed. I noticed no.
It was a post Christmas letdown.
Ralph didn't have enough hot takes.
I know. I didn't. So for Dave, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.
Meow.